Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, May 30th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Southern Poverty Law Center outs Payette public accountant as neo-Nazi. Governor Otter wants patients to adjust lifestyle if they are to get expanded Medicaid. And Boy Scouts talk with Kootenai County Sheriff Wolfinger about his plan to sever ties with the Boy Scouts because of a new policy allowing gays. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Governor C.L. Butch Otter has told the Idaho Statesman editorial board he won't support expanding Medicaid to adults just over the poverty line unless rules for the expansion require recipients to agree to lifestyle changes. Otter said, if you're smoking, you gotta quit smoking, and if you don't quit smoking, some part of the benefit, or all of it, goes away. If you've got a history of diabetes in your family, and you're told to change a certain lifestyle, and you don't do it, then you don't get them anymore. Otter has also said he wants some Medicaid money based on how well medical providers improve patient outcomes. Idaho lawmakers passed on the optional expansion of Medicaid this year, which would have deemed one out of four Idahoans poor enough to be covered. A Medicaid working group appointed by Otter, however, has recommended the state expand Medicaid next year, but said there should be adjustments to the system. Currently, 230,000 Idahoans are covered by Idaho Medicaid, which costs state and federal taxpayers $1.65 billion per year. The federal government pays 70% of that. A 48-year-old Winchester man pled guilty yesterday to second-degree murder in the killing of his mother. Kenneth D. Broncho admitted he killed 66-year-old Carol Haskell in Winchester June 21st last year. Broncho also pled guilty to using a firearm in a violent crime. U.S. District Judge Edward Lodge has set Broncho's sentencing for August 19th in Coeur d'Alene. The Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence report has outed a certified public accountant in Payette as a member of the neo-Nazi National Alliance who has written numerous racist and anti-Semitic screeds over the years. The articles and one racist fantasy novel were published under the name Farnham O'Reilly. Timothy Folk's accounting firm has audited nearly a dozen public school districts, several charter schools, several Idaho cities, sewer districts, and other government bodies. Since the Southern Poverty Law Center published the article on Folk, they have been contacted by Folk's son, Kurt Folk, who said his parents were divorcing and his father has retired from the accountancy firm the two ran together and is, quote, out of the picture and out of our family and our lives. The center says when it confronted Folk about the article and book via email, he wrote back that spending years writing racist and anti-Semitic articles were part of a research project to gain access to people who live close to nature. Folk said it was, quote, part of my effort to both illustrate a nature-based world and gain entrance into a closed society for the purposes of my research. He said he wanted to understand, quote, why human beings don't fit in with the natural world. However, Folk is listed under his pen name as paying $130 per month in membership fees to the National Alliance, which the Southern Poverty Law Center says is several times more than the minimum membership charged by the organization. Folk's first racist writing appeared in a 2007 issue of the National Alliance's journal National Vanguard, which was called Our Aryan Values. His novel, Hyperborean Home, focuses on the struggles of a fair-skinned race fighting an evil mixed-race group. The novel also includes a nonfiction addendum purporting to be about the author's real life in which he found himself hearing from the ghost of Hitler. His writing also includes a 20-installment how-to guide for building a successful Aryan homeland and suggesting the Northwest would be a good place for that. The Southern Poverty Law Center says the text of the novel, quote, oozes with adulation for Hitler. Folk pulled down his own website with racist writings advocating an Aryan homeland in the Northwest after the Southern Poverty Law Center published its article in the summer 2013 edition and told the intelligence report he did that because the website had served its purpose. He wrote the center, quote, the postings you refer to, as well as the website, were part of a research project that I hoped would provide me information I was seeking on animal rights, people working together, religious issues, rural versus urban living, and so on. The Inland Northwest Council of Boy Scouts met with Kootenai County Sheriff Ben Wolfinger Tuesday in response to Wolfinger's announcement that the sheriff's office would be dropping its Boy Scout charter in the wake of the organization's decision not to discriminate against scouts who were gay. Wolfinger said the sheriff's department couldn't sponsor an organization that condoned illegal acts. Under Idaho law, consensual gay sex is referred to as the infamous crime against nature. Gay sex is illegal in Idaho, as is fornication, which is consensual sex between adults outside marriage. A 2003 U.S. Supreme Court decision on a Texas case declared sodomy laws unconstitutional nationwide. Inland Northwest Council of Boy Scouts CEO Tim McCandless told the Coeur d'Alene Press he provided Wolfinger with more information about the Boy Scouts policy. The paper reported Wolfinger refused to answer questions about whether or not he was going to change his mind. A Washington State University professor of critical culture, gender, and race studies wants to make sure the Commission on Campus Violence, established in the wake of high-profile assaults in the university community, has the power to change campus climate. Judy Muth praised WSU President Elson Floyd for establishing the commission, but warned against it becoming another do-nothing committee. Muth wrote a petition that was signed by 48 members of the WSU community and emailed to Floyd in April and published in the Daily News May 22nd. The petition lists 10 examples of incidents that Muth calls the tip of the iceberg of a culture of intolerance, substance abuse, and code of silence about violence. Floyd said he did not recall receiving it. Yesterday, Floyd announced that former College of Education Dean A.G. Rudd was chosen from about 100 nominees to head the Commission on Campus Life. Following an Idaho Supreme Court ruling, a federal judge has lifted an injunction against use of the shooting range at Farragut Wildlife Area north of Coeur d'Alene. First District Judge John Mitchell ordered that the World War II-era range, once part of the Naval Training Station at Lake Pendere, can open two Saturdays each month with a cap of 500 visits per year. A hearing to consider whether to lift that cap is scheduled for September 30th. Mitchell had ordered the park closed in 2007 in response to a lawsuit brought by a group of local residents, Citizens Against Range Expansion, who complained of noise and bullets that struck homes. The state then spent $260,000 to improve safety and reduce noise at the range, but Mitchell refused to lift the injunction, stating concerns that bullets could ricochet off the rock floor or fly over the walls of the range. With money from hunting and fishing fines, timber sales, and National Rifle Association grants, the state made further improvements. Last September, the Idaho Supreme Court ruled against the continued closure of the shooting range. Harvey Richman, the lawyer for the group that sued, said the group will continue to push for a 500-visitor limit at the range. With the death of Washington State Senator Mike Carroll of Lakewood yesterday, the state's mostly Republican coalition caucus is one member short of a majority in the Senate. Republican Party Chair Chris Vance expects Carroll's replacement to be appointed quickly, averting disintegration of the Senate majority caucus. The legislature is currently in an overtime session mandated for balancing the biennial budget. The Pierce County Council will choose from a list of three Republican nominees to fill Carroll's Senate seat. Carroll's legacy to the state includes work to reform the criminal justice system and correction system. Carroll, who is a conservative Republican, had missed most of the 2013 legislative session after being diagnosed with myelodysplastic syndrome in February. He died from lung complications related to his treatment for the precancerous condition, which often leads to leukemia. At the annual meeting of the Grittman Medical Center's Board of Foundation members, Auditor Eric Volk told the group the financial outlook for the not-for-profit hospital is above average on state and national benchmarks. Although the Grittman Board has approved an expansion of the hospital to the south, CEO Kara Best said that project is being placed on hold because of uncertainties about the effects of healthcare reform over the next several years. Grittman's chief information officer, Kane Francetich, said the number of doctors continues to decline in the state. Idaho is already fourth lowest nationally in the number of physicians per capita. Nez Perce County and the city of Lewiston have created a joint airport authority in an effort to make the Lewiston-Nez Perce County Regional Airport financially self-sufficient, and that effort is now being put into overdrive in the wake of the federal budget cuts known as sequestration. The Joint Airport Authority was founded in 2010. Closure of the airport's control tower was averted by congressional action last month, but at a joint city council budget meeting yesterday, Airport Authority Treasurer Pat Nuxall warned city council members and county commissioners the airport will face the same crisis again in the fall. Nuxall was asking for $10,000 each from the city and county to spend on a marketing effort to attract big businesses to the airport, such as fueling and maintenance operations or the U.S. Forest Service. Last April, the city and the county contributed $2,500 each to the U.S. Contract Tower Association in an effort to keep the airport tower up and running. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow's weather is calling for mostly sunny, high 64. It'll be mostly sunny Saturday, high 70, and mostly sunny with a high of 64 on Sunday, with a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon. Nighttime weather, mostly clear Friday night, low 42, and partly cloudy Saturday night, low 48. Currently 59 degrees and partly cloudy in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Talk Nation Radio, an interview about the U.S. bases everywhere on the planet, and at 6:30 Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, Michelle will be in to play music for you. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, and the recordings of local events and public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the Radio Free Moscow website at krfp.org or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow.